This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So we enter into this season, and right off the bat, right, we encounter Jesus is thrown into the wilderness. Not only that, he's sent into the wilderness by the very Holy Spirit that had just come upon him during his baptism, the very Spirit that said, "You are my son, my beloved. Of you I am very well pleased." And then he's sent out into the wilderness and tempted for 40 days. Now, I don't know about all of you, but it makes me a little scared of what actually happens at our baptism, yes? Well, today we have actually all the readings go together quite nicely. If you hear reflections of the psalm in the conversation Jesus has with the devil in the gospel reading, and you hear the reflection of the reading from Deuteronomy in the conversation that Jesus has with the devil in the gospel reading. Now, it's important to recognize that this idea of the devil, the Satan, in Hebrew scripture is understood as the adversary, right? Not necessarily a person dressed in red with horns and a tail and a pick, but rather an adversary, someone who is adverse to what one is trying to achieve to the glory of God, right? Something that is adverse to living a life fully in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And so the devil is tempting Jesus with all of these worldly things. Esteem, money, wealth, power. But I first wanted to think about what we read in our first reading from Deuteronomy. And what we hear is it says, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it. In other words, when you have control over the gifts that God has given you, and when you settle in it, because everything that we have is a gift from God, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit from the ground and offer it back to God. Not what's left over after everyone is full. The first of all of the fruit, because this land is a gift from God. As we head into the season of Lent, I believe that this is a wonderful reminder for all of us that everything that we have is first a gift from God, and that God asks us in return, once you have received it, I have given it to you freely, God says. I give it to you, and now you have control over it. You possess it. I expect that the first of the fruits of that gift will be returned. Now, in our Christian tradition, that looks a lot like the church, right? How we support and care for the church. So as I started to think about this earlier this week, because I was working on a letter, I thought about St. John's and why these things go together. So we are celebrating our 175th anniversary. Very exciting. And I thought about St. John's and when I first arrived at St. John's. Now, 175 years to be doing the work of Jesus Christ, trying to do the work of Jesus Christ in one community is a very long time. Every now and then, I'll run across another priest who will brag that their church is 193 years old or 200 years old. But 175 is a long time to be seeking to do the work of God. And I arrived at St. John's. The question there was, we were struggling, right? Some of you were here. What is the first fruits that God has given? And I'm going to share this story, but I want you to think about it and relate it to your own life. What is the first fruits that God has given? Well, when I looked around, I said, the first fruit that God has given St. John's is, it's longevity, perseverance, right? And the good people who are here. The first fruits. I was like, well, what can we offer? We can do worship with a handful of people. Our property. Our land. Just like the land that God had given to those first people coming out of the wilderness. Our land and our property. A first fruit. And so I remember thinking, I want this land and this property because this is what we have to offer to. As a church, this is what we offer. We offer praise to God, but this is what we can offer to our neighbors, to our community right away. And I want to say, so this week I was working on a list. This is what we're able to accomplish so far. And the reason I'm sharing this is because when you think about your first gifts, your first fruits, and what they look like when you hand them over to God and the work that God is doing in the world, here are some of the things that God has been able to do with your first fruits here at St. John's. We have an AA meeting that meets 3 nights a week, and it has grown exponentially since they started meeting here. And they host a monthly recovery celebration. We have an Al-Anon meeting. If you're not familiar with Al-Anon, they are family members and friends of people who are struggling with addiction. They meet once a week. And for the last couple of years, they've even used our facility for their annual regional gathering. We have Scout Troop 409, which is the only special needs troop in our area. Right here, they started in the 70s. The only special needs troop in our area, they came to us because they were not allowed to meet at the church they were previously meeting during the pandemic. And because of our yard, they're like, we can do something outside. They developed a community garden in our backyard. If you're wondering, whoever manages that, the scout troop pretty much oversees it. And one troop member, now these are adults, most of them by now. They've been a member of this troop since they were young, very disabled. One troop member was able to earn his Eagle Scout badge for part of that project. A huge milestone in the life of his life and that troop. We have the only Sea Scout troop in our area. It meets here at St. John's on Sunday afternoons. And the reason they meet here is, A, it's easy to get to, and it's close to the Naval Air Station, which is where their boat lives. We have a community art group that's been meeting here. All mediums, all skill sets have been meeting here to work on their projects, to get feedback from other artists, and enjoy the camaraderie for over 25 years. And they still meet every Tuesday. More recently, we started hosting the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary Flotilla in our area. And we are now a polling precinct for precinct number 24 in Escambia County. What's really fun about that is they vote in here. And now we have a monthly feeding ministry that feeds roughly, and our hope is we prepare for 150 of our neighbors and friends. That's a lot for us to be able to do. Over the past few years, we've been able to open our doors to the Star Lake Homeowners Association, the Bayou Chico Homeowners Association, the Warrington Revitalization Committee. We hosted a town hall to discuss the refurbishment of the Barrier Islands south of Bayou Davenport and NAS Pensacola. You may not know this, but we've had food trucks. I had a friend who had a food truck and a member of our church, and they needed a business place to hook it up so that they could get cleared to serve. So she told her friends, and so now we've had several food trucks that come park in our parking lot, plug in, add the water just in time, just enough so that they can get their certification. And not only that, but every day we have neighbors who use our property to walk their dogs, to take their strollers by. More than 70% of all activities held at St. John's are with non-sectarian partners. Now, friends, that's an offering of our first fruits that we have available to our community. That's an offering of our first fruits because of the generosity of your first fruits. And let's not forget the Children's Center. It took a couple of years to get them on their feet, but they are self-sustaining now. We're getting close to 35 children. We pay well, some of the best in the area, 6 full-time teachers and a full-time director. We can serve children up to age 4. We developed a partnership with Redeemer School as a pipeline for their pre-K 4 program. We've been able to provide over $20,000 in financial scholarships to families at the Children's Center. It's not, childcare is not cheap, friends. But again, all of this is possible because of your first fruits that you give to St. John's. And I share all this, A, because I was excited and I wanted to share that with all of you, but also because it fits so perfectly with this call that we hear in Deuteronomy. I have given you the land. You possess it. What are you going to do with it? Your first fruits need to be returned to God. So as we think about our role in this culture, in this time, in this place, and what we have to offer our community and our friends and neighbors, much of where we are right now can feel a lot like a wilderness. So much confusion, animosity, anger, fear. Y'all, my hair's falling out. But see, it's in the wilderness, as we hear in Deuteronomy, it's in the wilderness that God shaped God's people to be led by God. Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Even the Son of God needs a wilderness to help shape and mold him. You see, the wilderness itself is, it's in southern Israel, and I've actually seen it, and it looks like the wilderness, but it's not like a desert. There is life that exists in the wilderness. But only when God provides the rain, right, to feed the flocks. So the devil brings Jesus out into the, Holy Spirit leads Jesus out into the wilderness. He encounters the devil. Part of you got to wonder, he hasn't eaten for 40 days. Maybe he's hallucinating. But the devil is there with him in the wilderness, and the devil offers him all the things that would save him in that moment. In his weakest moment, the devil offers him all of those things to escape. He offers him the self-indulgence, self-aggrandizement, self-serving religious identity. And Jesus again and again goes back to Scripture, what he's grown his whole life to understand as his relationship with God. He draws from the Old Testament. He knows there's more to life than food. The only one worthy of worship is God. And God doesn't like to be tested. Jesus, the very Son of God, recognizes that his underlying truth, that he himself is dependent on God rather than himself. Both of these stories, my friend, recognize our dependence on God rather than ourselves. Our dependence on God rather than what the world can offer us. Our dependence on God rather than what the world tells us it can do for us. And we can always look back to Scripture, but guess what? The devil quoted Scripture too. So how do we know when it's the devil, and how do we know when it's God? The interesting thing here is, and I don't know how you all have this experience, perhaps, of temptation. Right now, these are big temptations, and we think of temptations like the big ones, the three big ones, right? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But here, the temptation here is Jesus' very identity. How many of us have ever encountered someone trying to tell us who we are? That's contrary to who we know we are. Devil is challenging Jesus' identity. He says, if you are the Son of God, then do this. If you are the Son of God, God will save you. Again and again, it's all a temptation of self-serving ways. This Ash Wednesday, I mentioned an author, and he wrote very profoundly, the season of Lent, as we think about our first fruits and how we offer those back to God, and we think about the temptations of the world, there's a huge temptation, my friend, to hold our fists tightly, to hold on to things. When fear and uncertainty come, we want to bring it in. We want to control it. But this again says, you got to let it go. Open your hands. And he says, the call to the season of Lent. And so we talk about relinquishing those temptations, addressing those temptations during Lent. He says, it's not really anything different what we're asked to do during the season of Lent. All it is intensifying. Intensifying what we are already asked to do as Christians. It's like a hyper-focus on what we are already asked to do. It's a call to travel this road, this way that leads to God. And my favorite imagery is it encourages us not to bow down and cowered over as we're being beaten down, but rather to stand upright, to embrace the challenge as Jesus did. To stand upright and open our eyes to see those who have decided to take this journey with us. So I was thinking about exactly what does this idea of Lent and giving up temptations. Again, we think of temptations as these big things, but temptations can be all sorts of things. The temptation to be pessimistic. A temptation to complain, a temptation to judge, a temptation to react with anger, a temptation to respond with sarcasm. To be intentional about the way of the Christian life. So a couple of months ago, this is a personal story. I'm going to be 47 this year, guys. Whew. That's probably why my hair is falling out. And I went to the doctor last summer, and guess what? You have high cholesterol. I'm like, what? How is that even possible? Yes, I love bacon. I love pork chops. I could really like a steak. I drink beer. Like, I'm going down the list. I'm like, this is not possible. I am too healthy to have high cholesterol. And she goes, well, it could be genetic. I'll take that. It's not my fault. It's my parents' fault. So I had a follow-up appointment just before Christmas. And I said, okay, because she tried to put me on medicine. I'm like, I'm not taking it. I tried. I don't know about all of you, but it made me sick. Like, it made me nauseous. I didn't like it. I called my dad. I was like, is this what you do? He's like, yeah, I can't take it either. And I said, well, what do you do? And he goes, just have high cholesterol. And so I did a detox. You might be familiar with detox. There's all kinds of detox out there right now. The fasting detox is a big one, and it's a different kind of fasting than what the Bible talks about. But I had done this years and years ago after I had my second child. I just didn't feel right. And I did some research, and, you know, a lot of how we feel is what we eat. You may have heard that. It's true. Living testimony. And so I did this detox, and it's about 3 weeks long, right? It's very much like a vegetarian, but I like protein, so it's, you know, organic meats. Anyway, I did it just before the holidays, right? Because I'm going to go get my blood work done right after I finish, right? And before Christmas hits and I eat all the junk again. And friends, it worked. She said, what have you been doing? And I'm like, what do you mean? She said, your cholesterol is down, this is down, this is down, the good stuff is up. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I've just been working on it. I wonder what it would be now. But then it made me think about this idea of, this is what Lent is, right? It's a reset. I reset everything. And I said, oh, I feel real good. And now here I am. I woke up this morning, I'm like, God, I'm so tired. I need to do it again. But it's a reset. It's a reorganizing our life to Jesus. Just like I was reorganizing my body to the way that it's supposed to be fed, in healthy ways and helpful ways. And then I decided to do dry January. That's a thing too. I went and had two beers and I was totally like, oh my God, I can't see straight. Again, this is the detox, friends. This is what Lent wants us to do. to cleanse out all that stuff, to refresh our soul, to refresh our heart, to refresh the way we think about the world. Because guess what? We need this season. Because I love how our gospel reading ends. The devil left him until an opportune time. Now, I don't know about all of you, but my opportune times in my life always seem to be either A, when I'm at my highest, having the best time ever, or I'm at my lowest. And that's what the season of Lent does. It prepares us so that when we hit that opportune time where the adversary wants to come in and take over and remind us that we can do it ourselves, that we don't need to be dependent on God, that's what Lent does. It helps us to regroup, to train for that moment. When that happens, because it says right here, if it says, Jesus, I'm going to come back, you know the devil wants to come after us too. When the adversary comes back, Lent trains us, if we're intentional about it, to remember the truths that are who we are, we're a child of God, what God wants us to do, give the first fruits back to God. It reminds us of all of these things so that when the adversary shows up, we're ready. So that when the adversary shows up, we don't jump off the pinnacle. So that when the adversary shows up, we know we'll be fed. So that when the adversary shows up, we know that God will save us, just like the psalm says. So three things. Lent is about turning around. Lent is about laying it down. And Lent is about picking it up. Is there something in your life you want to turn around from? Is there something you would like to take a break from to remember God more? What do you need to lay down to keep God as the focus? And what are you going to pick up? How would you like to worship and focus on Jesus this Lent? Amen.